All right. So, I mean, we can talk. Please, of course, we can talk circles and days and diaries and, you know, again, historical moments on the preservation of hate and where it comes from and the root evil of it, et cetera, et cetera. I want to quickly just touch on self-respect because self-hate, again, is bred from what we experience in life. I understand that we could also manifest it ourselves, but revoking your self-respect, where is it happening in Gen Z? Because again, what we want, we really do want, the world does want a generation to be able, the next generation and the one after that and the next, to be able to rule with might. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Where is it blatantly being revoked from you?
Oof. I would have to say,
when you look in the,
when you try to relate to previous, to older generations, you know, when we're told that we need to believe in ourselves and we need to be able to do things ourselves and like we need to understand the power that we have and all of that. And I mentioned this earlier. Essentially, it's just like, dog, like you tell me that I deserve all these things or my life should be easier because of these things. And after that, you're going to tell me like, oh, you are nothing. Like, listen, you don't work for anything. You don't deserve anything and whatnot. And I feel like that's a huge curse that a lot of us are facing. Cause I don't want to lie. I realize how privileged I am to grow up in a household where I had a mother that encouraged me and wanted me to do the best. Yes, there was a point in time she was taking me to the brink where she was just like, you do not perform any lesser or whatever.
Yeah.
But then it was just a case of, you know, she was learning herself. So a lot of people do not have that encouragement, and we really do underestimate how much that plays into how people see themselves. And how they get to understand
that battle again, where you start saying, because it is something that, I mean, even in say in your old age, you will really start building those, rebuilding and rebuilding those lines, and saying, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Even. You know, this is an anecdote that I use quite proudly in the way that, you know, I think it was maybe a year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I sat there and I was in tears with my older sister is my like spiritual guide. And she's been my spiritual guide since I was a baby. And I was in tears because for the first time, I'm saying to you within this context specifically, I'm not trying to be secretive and stuff. It's not relevant. Because I was angry this time. I was angry about being particularly how easily brought down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A particular person in your life can easily do that. It's the ones that you love the most.
Oh, yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
But it was so liberating. I, again, get this goose flesh. To get angry, but to be emotionally, you know, just raped into that openness. I always find it very odd that, you know, when you're quote unquote born, there's this pure, wonderful version of yourself, right?
Yeah.
That I'm saying to you that we spend our entire life trying to get back to.
Yeah.
You know, like that best version of yourself?
Yeah.
Because we're like, that person is going to be ruling whatever mini world you want.
Yeah.
Is going to get the best success. It's that original little person that you've locked up into kind of like a coffin, not really.
Yeah.
It's a cage that you put in and protected so well. And then your whole life, you're breaking that down to let it out because you've been again oppressed by so many different aspects to keep that cage locked and firm and protected at our own detriment. I bring up that story because it's about that whole thing of like, well, like there's so little that the world can still revoke in terms of my own self identity and respect.
When it comes to, can I say it, religion, can I say it?
Yes.
Because for me, it's like, you know, firstly, I need you to understand that religion is like a box where everyone puts things in a box. It's like Christy was saying earlier when I said, like, if your mama has to look at me, she'll probably think I'm from the devil, you know. And she claimed and she said that I actually told my mom that you are like a Christian. Christian was like, no, I'm not a Christian. I was born into that religion. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing I chose, you know what I'm saying? It's exactly the same as Muslims and all the other cultures. It's nothing you chose. So I don't believe in religion because religion says wear your hat to church. Ladies can't wear pants, you know, you can't wear makeup and all this. And for me, it's especially when it comes to that, these people use it to manipulate.
But again, are those not the extremes, the people that...
Yes, they are.
I'm happily Christian, but the thing is that I understand that that's the person that's making the... It's again about the person that goes on social media, creates a group, and then makes a statement for the rest of us.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Because, I mean, we believe in instant assumption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is how it's supposed to be. Mm. And many friends that, especially within the gay community, that automatically, because there wasn't a spiritual guide, I say like my sister, for example, who didn't take you beyond that one verse in the Old Testament to say that you're not, it's not damnation. That's not how it goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so many people abdicate religion where you related again to there's a person that said, put that hat on.
Yeah.
But when Jesus was on the cross about to die, he didn't shout, put your hat on. I mean, I feel terribly for you that's been your story.
My thing is this, and it's quite sad because I don't know how far I can go with this because I'm very passionate about this.
You can go ahead.
So my thing is this. I've been hurt by many people, but I've been hurt by the church the most. And this is why I don't like church.
Why?
Because I've been hurt so much. Like, as you look at me, I got piercings everywhere. My hair is different colors every single week, every single month. I'm wearing chains on my pants. I'm wearing short clothes. It's long. It's torn. It's that. And I, like, the church literally broke me down. You know, church is supposed to be, and that's the thing. It's not the building, but that's what they make it. Yeah. It's supposed to be a place where you're supposed to come and heal from your brokenness, right? You know, heal from financial issues, heal from being abused at home, heal from, you know, because everyone's got their own different stories. Every story is the same, just different seasons. You know what I'm saying? Understanding itself. Yeah.
But I'm going to, like I say, just throw it out there. It's how difficult is it? Because Gen Zers are, again, I won't say apathetic. They've abdicated as well. Apathetically abdicated from religion. That life isn't that hard. For me, I'm just saying, to have blind faith makes it explains so much I don't want to explain for myself.
Yeah.
Because it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I am super in my head, I'm saying to you, so I can bring myself right down to the lowest level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I believe if there's something to just be like, okay, like you don't have to go there.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to get back to that.
I think I'd like to rephrase my answer for actually when you asked me when have I felt like my self-respect has been taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while I'm in Mpumalanga, like, I'm just like, okay, I can still live my life. I can still be fabulous and glamorous and everything. But as soon as we approach the border gate, it's just like I have to kind of... I was just like...
Fix yourself.
Yeah.
I know it feels like you're deceiving yourself, but is it worth fighting that fight?
That's my thing, because now I've come to a point where, I mean, the other reasons I also don't want to visit Swaziland, like family members can be trash.
Yeah.
But also, it's just like, this is, going to Swaziland has become very strenuous in the sense where I feel like I cannot be myself. Actually, not even feel, I know.
Yeah.
I can't be myself, because I remember there was even the story my cousin was relating to me, because at home they know I'm gay. I dislike them for other reasons, but otherwise they've accepted me. And my cousin was telling me about this crazy story where this one gay guy was actually killed by some straight man, and then the police let him go because he claimed that the gay guy was trying to
Hit on
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, make a move and hit on him. And the police were just like, oh, thank you. You did our job for us.
Yep.
So where have you put your foot down in terms of that? Because you're saying that there's obviously clearly some kind of resolution for you in terms of identity. Mm. Where is that taking you to?
I've gotten to a point where I genuinely do love and adore the person that I've become, especially when I think back to the person I was and, you know, that kid who was just trying to find his way in life. Every day I wake up, you know, I think in the previous podcast we spoke about how every morning I wake up and I sit and drink my tea and then think about my decisions and whatnot. But in one of them, because I believe in prayer, right? I believe my spiritual relationship with the universe or the higher power is personal. And every day I thank that power for helping me acknowledge who I am and embrace who I am, because, you know, I always look at it and be like, I'm the coolest person I know. nobody has the power. I've come to a point where nobody has the power to make me feel less than. Like, whenever I can see that, okay, Chris is projecting, that's his problem. You know, if Chris is projecting, that's his problem. Like, talk to me about an actual problem, or are you actually gonna try and project? I'm not a whiteboard. Don't try to project onto me.
I find that if you do allow yourself to be a human for seconds, that makes life a lot easier. So should you attack me and I should feel, you know, for a moment, I find that trying to be a statue 24 hours is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good attitude that I'm saying to you, but to be able to forgive yourself for 3 or 4 seconds of feeling broken by someone else's attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as I come back to reality within the next 10 seconds and say, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's almost like thinking about terrible situations that you were in that are kind of like post-traumatic stress,
disorder.
Yeah, that's it, you know?
Yeah.
And saying, okay, well, I've grown way past that.
Mm.
Well, I'm not that person anymore, whatever it may be, but I still feel, you're allowed to still feel.
Yeah.
Quite like the death of a person, you may still hurt for the rest of your life.
Yeah. On that note, actually, it's something that I went through yesterday, right?
Mm.
So I'm kind of under the weather, and my mom was like, yo, you need to eat because you need to take pills. I don't have appetite. So I'm in the kitchen and I'm trying to dish up for myself. And then I just out of nowhere, I'm crying as I'm dishing up. And I'm like, am I crying because I don't want to eat and now I have to force myself to eat? Like, I wasn't understanding what was going on.
Right.
So I called Duma, I video called him, and he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, yo, I don't want to eat because I don't have appetite, but I kind of have to force my body to eat.
Mm.
Duma was like, nah, bro, there's something deeper that's going on here. Like, I need you to like sit down, like think about things that have happened in the past 2 weeks. Like, you know, things that might have like grieved your spirit or something. And then we can have a conversation about it tomorrow. I'm like, cool. And it actually took me back to the question of my self-respect.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
being,
it's a trick, ripple trickle effect. You know,
exactly.
Where you're
so,
like, all the times that I didn't,
respect
myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when you go through those toxic, when you're in the toxic moment or situation, you don't realize it's toxic, right? You'll have outside people tell you, bruh, you're moving differently. This is not looking cute.
Yeah.
But you don't experience it. You don't feel it because, like, you're in your own bubble.
Yeah.
But only when you, like, get that ding-dong moment and you look back, now you start questioning your self-worth. You start questioning the stand that you had within that particular situation. You think back to, okay, I could have... Now the ifs and the buts and the maybes start coming
in. And then you start becoming delusional of your own, of the image of who you are.
Exactly. You start questioning, okay, but actually, who is Christy? What is Christy all about?
Yeah.
And another situation I can identify to is the whole church chat, right? So then my mom had found another church, I don't know where. I was just like, that's great for you. Because my mom did not believe in church for the longest time, right?
Yeah.
My uncle would go to church with me as a kid, and my mom would be like, peace, I'm out. I'm not about that life. Cool. All of a sudden, something changed. I'm like, I bet I'm happy for you, bro.
Then, this one day when I had to go to a service, all of a sudden she's just like, yo, you can't go to that church anymore. And I'm like, why? Like, there's a conference going on now. Like, I need to go. And she literally, like, we had a back and forth. Because I wasn't understanding, why are you not letting me go? I've been going this whole time. But so she, like, said to me, now we need to attend this new church because, like, this is the right church. This is the one and everything like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get it. That's for you. I'm like, I'm super happy for you. But I've been, this is my happy place right here.
Yeah.
And she literally said to me, yo, if you walk out that door, don't come back.
Mm.
And that's where I felt like my self-respect being ripped away from me by my own mother. And also, because at the time I wasn't, I still am not a very confrontational person with my mother, because I still have that element of respect for her, and I haven't gotten to that point to sit down and be comfortable enough to be like, 1, 2, 3, can we talk about it? Because she's pretty much stuck in her ways.
Okay.
But I felt, I was just like, yo, like that really just, it tore deep. And I think I still have a bit of resentment because of that situation and situations that followed after that towards her. Because I was just like, wow, like you, like, you know, you think your parents are playing. You're just like, they're just saying, don't come back. And then you come back, it's fine. But that, like, felt super personal. And she looked like she was really serious about her guns.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what broke me.
So I want to wrap up our conversation by again, this whole fight against hate and the steps forward. You know, we identified many aspects of it.
Yeah.
I want you to be realists at this point.
Yeah.
You know, what do you see? Because that'll be, this will be kind of the precursor for our last episode, all right?
Yeah.
Which is about you and, you know, whoever listens to this. This is about the future you literally are going to be running in 10, 15 years' time.
Yeah. Mm.
So speaking is cool, 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 cool.
Yeah.
But doing is the thing now that you will, you have actually no choice.
Yeah.
You do know that. Yes. Everyone's saying, you know, like, oh, Gen Zers don't do anything. There's going to come a time.
Time of reckoning.
That y'all have to do something. Shit. But you also will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of wrap, I want to kind of wrap up this conversation on what you will do about this. Like, because we spoke religion, this, that, like sexual preferences, identities, everything, anything. How are you going to solve the notion of hate? Because that is how you solve a world.
Yeah.
Bit by bit by bit.
Yeah.
If you want to make the change that you all are going to make. Right.
Yeah.
And make that revolutionary, like people who did break down oppression and people that did stop wars and people. Over to you.
All right. I'm going to need this recording to be delivered to me because this is going to be used as part of my presidential speech.
Yes.
But I think, especially as a media practitioner and obviously a person who's becoming a radio personality, I will use my brand to instill and spread a message of self-awareness and really just encourage people to be the best version that they can be. I need people to realize how much power they have over themselves.
Yeah, like
through
you're saying.
Through content, through, you know, I always listen to the conversations I have with people. And, you know, the other day, actually, during the whole presentations for the PR campaign competition that was happening, one of our friends came to me. He's first year, I'm third year. And then, like, you know, he was just like, you know, I just want to say I'm very thankful that I was able to meet you this year. You've made my year very livable. You've made my year very bearable. And to be honest, like, I don't think I would have had as an amazing year as I did without you being there, because you've not only made us comfortable, but you've made us strive to be the best versions of ourselves.
Mm.
So right now, my mission currently is to find ways to make sure that message is spread to the wider audience, because I'd be damned if I could pinpoint exactly what is it that I do.
Yeah, I was about to say, how is that possible you show, when it's investing time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even if it's, people know, like, if it is 10 minutes, eh?
Yeah.
For real. You must think about all the times 10 minutes changed your life.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And when you say investment in showing, like, how they perception of the world around them is, I think, makes them less disgusting people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, when I say that, I'm saying they will not form part of that, you know, toxicity that surrounds the world. That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For me, I'm not here to change the world. Look, I am not Jesus. And I say that in the nicest of ways because I cannot do what he done. You know what I mean?
I mean, imagine you could change water into wine. I mean,
that would be awesome. That would be awesome. But I am not him, and I am just his disciple, or what people call it outside. But for me, it's like with my own family.
Yeah, I was going to say, in your own miniverse, yes, is how you make change.
Yes.
Not for more than to change the world.
Yes. And that's where we'll have the ripple effect. Look, we're still fighting the generations before me, you know, but I'm talking about mine, Danae's family. I don't want kids, but if she one day has, you know, if it's dogs, we will change it there. It's animals. This is what I'm saying.
Sorry, I laughed a little too late at that.
but that for me, because racism starts at home, hate starts at home, and love too, because I come from a family of love, yet we, I'm not going to say hate each other, we don't like each other a lot of the times, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I want to change, not to brainwash, but to allow you to be the best you can be, and right, in all its glory, you know what I'm saying? I want my little Danae to be that little Danae. I should say Danae, because that's...
how will you crush hate that's in front of you, that's in your way? How will you do that?
You know, this has been a fight all my life, and this is why I said earlier that rebellion where I had to, because when something is out of place, it is wrong, you know what I'm saying? So I was that one, that out of place. For me personally, I've got this little story around the black rose, basically the black sheep, where there's a black rose and there's a red rose, and people are always coming, because why does people go for the red rose? So they always come and cut the red rose because it's beautiful, you know, it's lighter, but the black rose is literally a darker shade of red, yet it's rooted, it's in front of the sun, it goes through all seasons, you know what I'm saying? And for me, that's been my thing all my life. It's like, I've been that black rose. People have shunned me from the inside. You get what I'm saying? It's like you said earlier that I love the fact that you're just about you, you know, that honesty. It's like, you're not going to take shit, you're going to say it like it is. That is what it is. Not to disrespect anyone, but it's because I have been pushed down so much.
Yeah. Yet, what else can you do?
Yet still rooted and growing.
Yeah.
And who's your number one bullies?
Yeah.
Your parents.
Yeah.
And I had to stand up chest to chest and say no, so far and not further, you know? And that's my thing, where it's like, in my little universe with my little family, that's where I'm going to teach it and be like, you know, love, be yourself. Do not treat people otherwise, because I love gay people. I love black people. I love white people. I love, you know, just love, because isn't that the meaning of life? Why did, I'm sorry.
Love good people.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's my thing. It's just like, that's where I'll start. Like.
I wish King, I had.
So when your reign begins, you've given, you got your title. Now you need your reign to begin.
Yeah. Well, the whole reason why I got my title, I think it was like an identity thing. So what I would like to practically do, I really wish I had the courage that you have.
You'll get there. No, you'll get there.
You know, to be able to like speak your, because I'll speak my mind, but in my mind. You know, I have all those conversations.
But come, King Christy can, you don't always have to.
Yeah.
Like that rose was standing still.
Yeah.
There's a lot of change that can be done.
There's a lot of family pressure I'm going through. Like I said, first grandchild, there's a lot of expectation from you and all of that. I would like to create that safe space where I am able to let them know what my true ambitions are, what my true emotions are on certain subject matters.
So if there is someone that for this life could, it has to be there because they do complete you.
Yeah.
And there is the, will you put in, will you give up at some point? Will Gen Z give up at some point to make that happen? I'm saying to find that common ground. You say with your mother, I'm saying to you, if this life is lived without that,
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes, definitely. I think I would reach a point as a Gen Z where I'd give up.
Where is your fight and die, you know?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying to you, to make sure that you will fight that type of...
For me personally, yeah. I think, and just like listening to Chris and all that, this is like life in general. Like, communication is the key to everything. Like, we need to communicate, and that's what we as a people run away from, is communication. It doesn't matter what age you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I matter. You matter. You know what I'm saying? And we need to get to a certain conclusion,
yeah,
where it is not about me and not about you, but let's solve the situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem where I think every generation is fighting,
yeah,
is that we're all in our own bubbles.
I'm glad that we get to hear that,
mm,
and to know that we are passing a torch on,
yeah,
to a generation that does believe,
yeah,
that. I think that's a good ending.